Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
And the Lord gave me a word, but I'm going to give you the scriptures and to back up this. It's about delayed healing. We all know that the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Past tense. So a lot of people are saying, well, I have this wrong, that wrong, and etc. And they're like, well, why am I not healed? Okay? It's in the Bible, and it's been there the whole time. First story of the Bible, we have the man that was lowered through the roof by his four friends. He needed a healing. In order for him to have the healing that he needed, he had to wait on God's divine timing. God wanted the big, huge crowd there that it was going to take so much for people to notice them taking off a roof that they believed so much in healing and that Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah could heal. They took the roof off, and that showed their faith and God's divine timing. How many people were in the crowd to watch and observe? Okay, we have the next one. The lady with the issue of blood. She spent all of her time, all of her money. She had to break the Jewish law in order to get her healing and go amongst the crowd that she was forbidden to do to touch Yeshua's garment. That showed her faith so much that Yeshua had to stop everything he was doing and turn to her and say, "Who touched me?" Okay? So she got to tell her story to the whole entire crowd that was around. Okay? The next one. We have the man at the pool of Bethesda. He was there 38 years waiting for his healing. Do you know how much faith it takes for 38 years for people to carry a paralyzed man to a pool? That's faith. That man had faith. He did not give up on his faith. So when Yeshua came, he says, "I have no one to put me in the pool." But Yeshua took the time himself to prove, "You don't need the pool. Here I am." And he healed him himself. Okay? Now, the other one we have, I'm going to use the example, is the blind man. He was blind from birth. Nobody would say, "Oh, no, he couldn't have been born blind from birth. Let's go call his parents in." So they went and they called the parents, and they said, "Yes, he was born from blind from birth." Now you ask, why is this so important for the blind man and for the paralyzed man that had these issues from birth? Because under Jewish laws and their Jewish beliefs and their Jewish religion, they believe only the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, can perform miracles that happen from birth. That is why it's so very important that those two examples are in here. Only Yeshua could do that. Amen. And he proved that he could do it, and he did it. Now, all of these are delayed healings. So if a person is wondering why they haven't had their healing yet, maybe the right crowd isn't there to witness it. Maybe it's not your exact time. And maybe the Lord is saying, yes, you're healed, but just not right now. Hang on. Hang on. Your family needs time to notice what's going on, or people around you. So these are a few of the reasons that are listed that why sometimes our healing is delayed.
So, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I want to share something that God has been stirring in my heart now for a few weeks. And I trust that as we're coming into this year that we're sensitive to the timing and what's going on in our world. I say our world because there are at times things that happen in a family, happen in an individual, in a community, maybe in a congregation, maybe in a city, maybe in a nation. But there are some things happening that are global that I believe we need to take note of. And I believe that the timing that God is letting us live is a very unique time in all of history. The word that came to me several weeks ago as I was in my quiet time with God was reset. Now, if you've ever worked with any equipment or maybe appliances, many appliances used to have a reset in them. You know, maybe they would just get overloaded, overheated. Maybe something would happen. And even some of our kitchen appliances, like the grinders and others, would have these resets where you could go and reset. So I'm somewhat familiar with the word and thinking about that, the whole aspect of something being reset. But that's not really, God wasn't wanting me to think about the appliances in the house. He was wanting me to look at things from a spiritual perspective. And so from a spiritual perspective, I want to remind you that just before we barely get into the book of Genesis, sin had been elevated on such a level that when God looked at the earth, God literally, and we have God's thoughts, was desiring to destroy the entire population. However, if you remember, there was one man that found favor with God. Whatever your circumstances, whatever my circumstances, whatever we're going to face or have faced, the enemy, do not ever listen to him to say, you're the lone survivor. Elijah tried that, didn't he? Didn't work so well. God said, no, there's 7,000 others. But the point is, if the whole world was literally going to hell in a handbasket, as somebody said, the power of God is more than adequate to sustain each one of us in this room and to keep us to himself. There was a great reset, wasn't there? There was a great flood. Evil rose to such a zenith that God said, that's enough. Had a plan. And what was the plan? The plan, in a sense, was to start over. Talk about a reset. That was a major reset. Where God said evil has just exceeded itself, and the planet is so wicked that I cannot let this go on. Ever wondered how God looks at our news, our headlines? I wonder if the vapors that rise up into the nostrils of God are not those of rottenness from not just our country, but the nations of the world. So when I look at the flood, we're in Genesis chapter 7. There's a major reset where God gives a new opportunity for Noah and his family. And you would think those boys and that family and for generations, they would be absolutely committed to God. But we find very quickly, once again, men begin to meander in their own directions, and by the time we get to chapter 11, we have them with this great building project. We're going to build something into the skies, and it's going to keep us united. And if we're kept united, there's nothing that can separate us. There's nothing we won't be able to do. We will be masters of our own fate. We will not need a God or God. We will do this by ourselves. And God looked at that and that condition and said there's another reset that's needed. Because once again, the entire population are turning away from faith and belief in God and turning to their own ways. And what happened? There was another great verbal reset. It affected the whole globe. It affects us this morning. What happened in Genesis chapter 11 impacts our world today. But do you know that now just on your phone, most of you know this, that almost any of us with our phones, we can have translators, we can be in a Spanish nation or a Chinese nation, a Russian nation, wherever we may go. And there's software now that will do what? That will bring us back to this sense of unity apart from God. Where you don't have to be godly to be able to understand other nations. And now we have the global trend to build global. And so as I was looking at this and I was thinking about it, I was praying about it. And where we are, I started to dig. I'm not finished digging, but I started to dig. What I found was that as you look in the scriptures and you see these times of revival, revival is a spiritual reset. When God awakens his people, awakens the church, it is an awakening to shove the darkness back and to raise up the testimony of who God is and his good news. And so we see this throughout biblical history. And what I found was that there are basically eight significant spiritual resets. Now, there's going to be a lot more that are more incidental, but let me just share them with you real quick. We're not going to go into all the scriptures, but Moses, God raised up a leader to be the instrument of deliverance to his people. And what was the result? The result was a tremendous reset that would lead to the giving of the law, the establishment of the covenant, and it would lead to the establishment of the nation of Israel. What happened with Moses is happening this morning. If you look on the news, you're going to find Israel in the news. Why are they in the news? Because they have been at war. They're at war with who? The world's at war with what? They're not just at war with Israel, but it's because of the God of Israel and the covenant that God has had with his people goes back to Moses. What God was doing with Moses and did through Moses is still impacting us this morning. The next spiritual revival that I want to point out is Samuel. You remember Samuel, he is a young man. He is a miraculous child, born to a family that could not by nature have a child. It's a miraculous thing. So as a baby, he's dedicated. Once he's weaned and he's able to go into the temple, he's sent into the temple, and God begins to speak to him as a child. And you think about this, he did not know the voice of God yet, had not learned the voice of God. You read the passage, and Eli would become a tutor to instruct him in the ways of God. But God was up to something. Even though Eli was, he lost his family, and Eli's sons were way out of control in the house of God, God had a plan to raise up a leader that would reset the spiritual climate in the nation. And Samuel was raised up, and as long as Samuel was serving and ministering as a prophet, there was a very high level of spiritual leadership that was within the land. And then we come to Elijah. Elijah is another instrument of revival, another prophet that God would raise up with signs, wonders, and miracles. And you look at his life and you have to say, where did he learn all of that? I mean, we know that Elisha is a part of the school of the prophets, but where did Elijah learn all of that? He was a man who walked with God. He knew God, and God would raise him up. He would actually be a part of a spiritual reset that would transform the nation for a period of time. And then we have another leader, Asa, that's raised up. We have political, we have spiritual, but Asa is both political and he's spiritual. And we could look at Asa's life, how after the nation had been backsliding, that God would raise up Asa, and Asa would become the point of the spear of God's message and God's purpose for God's people Israel. And then we have a man by the name of Hezekiah. He is raised up. We see the passages in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings. And then we move to a king by the name of Josiah. Any of you heard the name of Josiah before? And as a child, he's being raised up. He's being tutored. He's being trained. He's being equipped. He's being prepared for the call of God that's going to be on his life. And he is going to become an instrument of revival, another reset. These revivals, these revivings become points of reset in the nation. And then we have Ezra and Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls and the rebuilding of the temple. And we have the restoration of temple sacrifice. And so we have, again, God raises up even in the midst of an idolatrous fall and being taken away into captivity. God has a plan to reset his people and to restore them so that the nation of Israel has leadership in a spiritual sense, being restored miraculously. And then I was still digging. I was looking at the judges. You get into the book of Judges and you start finding out that it's like one day we're seeking God, the next day we're in trouble. If you haven't counted the accounts in Judges, and I have them all written down, I've been looking at them. I haven't broken them all down and digested all of it. But one thing I found out with Judges is that because of backsliding, the condition became so painful. Many times people don't repent until they experience pain. And could I just say that religion is not, and an increase in religion is not necessarily a spiritual reset. And let me say, having big crowds is not necessarily a spiritual reset. When God does a reset, he works from the inside out, and it is a spiritual transformation that not only impacts an individual, but it impacts everyone that's around their lives. I'm not talking about people having a religious desire. I'm talking about, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is an internal conviction that brings people to a place of deep, transforming repentance. We see this with these reformers and the revivals and Judges. I was looking at this, and from chapter 3 all the way through chapter 13, 14, 15, I'm looking at this, and the nation would backslide, and then there would be a judge raised up, and there would be, well, we have 40 years. The result of the revival impacted the nation sometimes for 40 years. And then the second that's in chapter 3, there's a revival. And that revival, God raises up another judge. It actually lasts 80 years. Pretty significant. But understand, for Israel to go from 40 years to 80 years, there had to be backsliding that was taking place. So when these awakenings, these revivals, these moves of God would come with the judges, there would be a pushing back of their enemies. There would be a level of peace and security brought to the land and prosperity. And along with the peace, the security, and the prosperity would tend to soften the people and weaken their trust in God. And eventually they would become self-focused instead of God-focused. And so you would think, how many times does this take? 8 different times. In the Judges, we have 8 major revivals. We just went through those leaders that were raised up over Israel's history. Now we have 8 cycles with the Judges. 40 years, 80 years, 20 years of oppression, 40 years of peace, 40 years of peace, 6 years of peace, 20 years of peace. Why does that matter? Because when we look at history, we find out that God really wants to save people. He doesn't want to destroy people. He's not looking for an opportunity to destroy a generation. In fact, if we think for a moment about the flood, remember what he said, that he said, I will never destroy the earth again by a flood. But there's fire coming. There's fire coming. So we have in Genesis, we have the flood. It's a global reset. It's spiritual. It's physical. It's a removal of all flesh other than Noah, his wife, his three children, and their families. We then have Babel and the Tower of Babel. Babel is, that's a more of a regional, but it's a global transformation where God is just seeking to get to the heart of people and bring them to himself and have them recognize that God is needed in our life and on the planet. So God split up the languages. From there, in looking at the leaders in the Old Testament, looking at the judges, I want to move to the next. And there's so many smaller resets that we find through the scriptures. There are hundreds of them, individuals, and many different circumstances that we could look at. We could park here for a year and just barely touch it, where God has repeatedly brought someone up, raised them up out of obscurity, and used them as a messenger. But I want you to look at the major global events that have had global impact. The next major global impact that I want to point to is the coming of Messiah. What a global reset. After thousands of years of traditions and ceremonies and law and the prophets, now comes grace. Men over all those years could not have peace, could not do what you do every night in Christ. You lay down and go to sleep and you have the peace of God in your life. Prior to the coming of Christ, no one ever had a conscience that was clear. Only through the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ and redemption do we have the opportunity through a born-again experience to have a new heart wherein we are actually at peace with God constantly. And it is an awesome gift. When Jesus came, history, B.C. A.D., reset the clock. Talk about a global reset. It was absolutely a global reset. And you might say, well, who was awake? Who was aware? Who was noticing? Most weren't. Most missed it. And you're right. Most did miss it. But it didn't change the fact that spiritually, all hell was put into a new dimension of controlled resistance by the completed work of Jesus Christ. Absolutely powerful. The born-again experience. The coming of Christ. Some of you may remember Carmen. I remember a song that Carmen did about the celebration that all hell had when Jesus was on the cross and he was struggling for breath and then would come to his last breath, and the party in hell with all the demons invited went on to high level. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Talk about a global reset. For God so loved the world, he was going to do something about the lost of people that had led to this destruction by the flood, the separations of nations and tongues that scattered across the globe, all of the redemptions and then failures, backsliding, idolatry, all of that. God's answer is that none of you can ever get it right. You need my son to come and fix that problem. I'm going to send my son. He can fix your problem. That still, this morning, is impacting the Church of Jesus Christ. That is the only answer. I want to point to the next, what I believe is the next global, historical reset. Pentecost. Pentecost. Jesus said, it's good for you that I'm leaving. It's good for you that I'm going to go back to my Father. Because what's going to be available to you when I leave is going to be so much greater than you could even imagine ever. And it's going to be so much more than what you've ever seen accomplished with me. It's going to be on a grander scale. It's going to be greater than. In fact, you will do greater things then. What a global reset. Satan is... He has his day in the desert with Jesus. Think about it. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the desert. Devil doesn't know if Jesus as man could sin or not. He doesn't know. So he's going to tempt him and test him to fulfill the word of God, that the Son of God would be tempted in every manner, same as we are, so that he could identify with us. And so that we could look at him and we could say, he understands what I'm going through. He understands life. He understands death. He understands separation. He understands rejection. He understands pain. He understands all of that. And so we have the Messiah who came and says, I'm going to send you a comforter. You're not going to be alone. You're never going to be alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. But I'm going to send you a comforter that is not just going to rest upon you. It's not going to be like a Gideon having a day of strength in the field. It's not going to be like a Samson. It's not going to be like an Elijah or an Elisha. It's going to be totally different. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is so determined that the Holy Spirit will move into you and empower you. Now, Satan has another problem now. Yeshua came out of the desert and was without sin. Now, the work is completed. And now, I believe what ticks the devil off more than anything else in all of the world is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has empowered us to not say yes to sin, but to say yes to God. I do not live under the power or the boot of Satan. And you don't either if you are in Christ. I will not say with my mouth that I sin in word and thought and deed every day and give myself to such a low level of provision when God gave His Son that I could not only be adopted into the family, but I could have the Father's presence and power through the Holy Spirit dwelling in my life. And whether I'm on the mountain or I'm in the valley, whether you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, whether you have answers to your questions or you only have questions, it doesn't change the fact that inside of you is the same Creator that spoke and brought the heavens and the earth into existence. Talk about a reset. Now Satan not only has the challenge that he had when Yeshua was empowered, now he has believers all over the globe who will surrender to the Lordship of Christ and welcome the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives, who are now equipped with this level and measure of faith to operate as Jesus did. I believe the enemy cannot stand the fact that through the power of God, we do not fulfill his will. We do not fulfill the will of the devil in our lives. We fulfill the will of the Lord.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.